8.1, just the facts. One of the foundational concepts that we want you to have in this segment of the program is the difference between research and investigation. Because if you understand that, it really kind of helps delineate the tasks that you're going to be performing, and also helps you understand how one is different from the other and how they can support each other, but they are different. You don't typically investigate in the law library, although there are a couple of exceptions we'll talk about later. Research involves finding the law. Investigation involves finding the facts. Again, I know this is on the page here, it's in the book, but I'm going to repeat it. Research involves finding the law. Investigation involves finding the facts. Now, in this part of the textbook, this section, we do talk about different kinds of witnesses, and witnesses are people who are identified during investigation as having facts that are pertinent to the litigation, that are relevant to the litigation. There is a hostile witness, which is a witness who has interests in opposition to your client's interests. Skeptical witness is the one who doesn't want to get involved. They're actually the toughest witnesses in some ways. A neutral witness is a witness who favors neither side, has no interest in the outcome. They're actually the most powerful witnesses because they look really good to the court. The court loves a neutral witness who has no skin in the game, who has no incentive to color his or her testimony one way or another. It's a very powerful witness. You have a friendly witness, a witness whose interests are aligned with your client, who basically wants to support your client. And you have a combination, which is kind of a mixture of those witnesses. You might have a friendly witness who doesn't want to get involved, has interest in sympathy with your client, but doesn't want to testify. That can be very frustrating. But the most dangerous of all those witnesses is actually the friendly witness, because they tend to want to leave out the bad stuff, and that can look very bad at court. If they have not told you everything, or if they've kind of slanted their testimony and it later is proved that they have not been totally honest or totally forthcoming, their entire testimony can be blown out of the water and can make your attorney's case look bad and your attorney look bad. So remember that. You should also know the elements that establish competency. You have to understand the obligation to tell the truth for a witness to be competent, the ability to communicate, and the knowledge about the topic of his or her testimony. The understanding that to tell the truth, that becomes a problem when dealing with witnesses who are children. Some states actually have specific age limits for how young a child can be in order to be a competent witness. Some, though, leave it more open because, you know, there are some 8-year-olds who know the ability to tell the truth, understand the obligation, and some who don't. So they will have them examined by psychiatrists or outside of the courtroom, interviewed by the attorneys, and determine in that way whether or not that individual child would be competent. So, but you should understand those areas of competence. That's almost a guaranteed test question. Another guaranteed test question, are the kinds of examination that we have listed in this section. Direct examination versus cross-examination versus redirect examination versus re-cross-examination. Direct is the person who brings The attorney brings the witness to the stand and questions that witness first. Cross-examination is the other side questioning that witness on the stand. That's cross-examination. Cross-examination has to limit itself to the issues that were brought up during direct examination, to the testimony that was brought up during direct examination. Now, if there is a redirect examination, that redirect has to limit itself to information brought up during cross-examination. The redirect is performed by the same person who conducted the direct, and that attorney cannot say, oh, I forgot to ask you this at that point. He can't do that unless it was brought up during cross-examination. So there are definite rules to this. And of course, recross, if it's allowed, some judges, don't allow a recross. But if there is a recross examination, it has to limit itself to the redirect. sounds a little confusing, but it's not. It just means that you don't have free rein, or an attorney doesn't have free rein to ask questions at every stage of the examination. They have to keep focused on what is the issue being asked of the witness at that point. On this page, we have a paralegal perspective. We have my favorite commonly asked questions. Make sure you review those. And, of course, we have a couple of exercises at the bottom. Hope you enjoy those and hope they're helpful.